for the morning to you, Caesar. You smoothie, me ice cold pizza. Cafe ole, latte da. You do the Zumba, but I do not. Give me like half a marathon. I'll give you the gospel of St. John. Hits me like a wake up bomb. Cause we both know that it's mercy flows in the morning.
Serious.
Thank you.
know we're just there for doing stand up life and big, you see me?
I gotta slow down, stop for a second, take a look around, and I gotta take time to hear that little voice inside saying I came to give you life, to spread your wings and fly. I got a secret to share. You are enough to change the atmosphere. So go and do life big, big. I wanna do life big, big. Break out in blue skies. I can feel my heartbeat spin inside. Yeah, it's like a new day. Woke up to hear you say, I came to give you life.
Father God, we come before you this morning. And good morning, Father God. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Taylor. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Brothers and sisters, you hear that last song? I want to do life big. I want you to get a piece of paper this morning. I don't know. Last night I said, get a piece of paper, and we never even touched the paper. So it was something God wanted. And you know what? Can you feel the joy in me this morning? Can you feel it? I want to do life big. I want to go out big. See, I came in small. You came in small, too, as a little bitty baby. Boy, this is one of the mornings when I don't really have anything prepared. And the reason that I don't is because the Stanline house got baptized yesterday. Well, Andrew, what you mean the house got baptized yesterday? Baptized in what? Deliverance. You got baptized in deliverance. Remember I said when the oil and the water came together, something was going to happen? It did. I want it to happen for you. It happened. It's happening. Let me tell you what happened. Last night, this 10-line house here was full of people. I know God was so happy. He was happy that this 10-line house was full of people. Well, how you know that, Erica? Let me tell you how I know. He delivered in wonderful ways. The joy of the Lord was just floating. Holy Spirit was just hovering up in here. He delivered. Get all the way back. I need to look that scripture up. I tell you, I'm unprepared this morning, so whichever way we go this morning, you know the Holy Ghost is leading. Okay? And I may decide, after the Holy Ghost lets me know here, I may decide to cut the 10 line off and come back this evening. Because God did speak a word to me. And I know he gave me that word because he's going to do what he said this morning. But God said to me, he want to eliminate lingering sicknesses, lingering diseases. He want to deliver from lingering the demonic influence and manifestation. Well, what is that? Well, that's stuff like diabetes, heart disease, lingering sickness, you know. Remember the lady who was bent over 38 years? So you say, well, how do you know he's going to do that? Because I wait for him, and he already started. He sent people here to be delivered from lingering stuff. That's how I know he's going to do it. And when I watch them get delivered, I know he's doing it. So God is going to deliver from lingering bondage. I mean, stuff that I guess that the doctor said, you're going to have to take this medicine the rest of your life. Well, I'm telling you, you are going to have to take this medicine. But the medicine is going to be the prescription from your number one doctor, surgeon, your neurologist, your doctor. And he write a prescription that you don't have to go to the pharmacy and spend $300 to get the pills. He write a prescription that you don't need an inoculation through a shot. He shoots you one time with the Holy Ghost. It's done for life. I'm talking about the great physician this morning. I'm talking about Jesus. And I'm talking about he's putting the tail line in a position of he's going to heal lingering sickness. And he's going to start today. I mean, he already started. But he's going to start this new realm, this new walk, setting people free from lingering sicknesses, lingering bondage. You know, I mean, lingering like, I've seen it happen. I've seen 20, 40, 50 pounds drop off in a second. See, I think that's lingering bondage, where somebody done put witchcraft on you, made you blow up. You don't know why you done gained this weight, but you can't get rid of it. And the reason you can't get rid of it because, number one, it's not yours. And number two, it was put on you supernaturally through a curse. And when witchcraft is on you as a curse to make you lose weight and or make you, what that witchcraft does, its purpose is to make you undesirable to anybody. Its purpose is to cause you to think less of yourself than what God thinks of you. And that can be mental. That can challenge you in your mind, too. Tell you you're ugly when you're a beautiful person, inside and outside. Satan loves to distort the image of a man or a woman. You know what I'm saying? So God want to set people free from some of that kind of stuff. And I'm trying to decide if I should, you know, leave this message up and then turn it off and then come back on the tail line around 7 or 8 on Blog Talk and then go through Spreaker and bring a message to destroy lingering sickness. You know, sinus problem, you had a long time, can't get rid of it. Because it ain't yours. It is resting on you as a result of a transgression. What is a transgression? When somebody sinned against you. We always see like, this is your sin or this is my sin. But what about when somebody sins against you? That's what witchcraft is. Witchcraft is someone sinning against you. And you not knowing it. We had marvelous ministry yesterday. And I'm going to tell you something. You are under witchcraft bondage. If you've ever gone to a church and then you get ready to leave to go somewhere else because God wants you to understand and learn at another level to a different person. And somebody says, you leave here, you ain't going to never be nothing. You leave here, you're going to die, you know, wither up and die spiritually. So those are all curses. Or you hear him say, ain't nobody ever left here that was successful. Well, how could they be when you levy the curse on them? So many people are living, walking, and abiding under curses that came out the mouth of another person. And you hear him say it, but you just, you know, in your way of thinking at that time, you just say, oh, they can't hurt me. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. That can be the spirit of God or the spirit of the devil. And if you don't like when somebody says something like that to you, if you don't stop right then and say, I command those words fall to the ground. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. If you don't stop those word curses, they grow and they grow and they take on more life and they take on more life. Well, how could this happen, Erica? Simple. Remember the scripture says, a curse causeless shall not fall. Okay? So, a person can curse you, or, as we saw yesterday, you can inflict curses, and those curses can be, the devil can trick you, or me, into building those curses ourselves. We had marvelous, marvelous deliverance here yesterday. And you know why? I'm not going to mention any names because names aren't important. They're not important to you. They're important to the person that got delivered. But this person, this is the saddest thing, one of them, that I've ever seen. A wizard saw the anointing on this woman's life and in the wizard's own selfishness and greed and covetousness. As a matter of fact, I had two of them. I remember that I prayed with a lady over the phone about the same thing. Only the lady I prayed with over the phone, her pastor was an undercover homosexual, and he, well, that's right, I can't say that word over YouTube or zap me. I'm going to say it, I'm going to take it out. But he had men in his congregation that he was setting up with women in his congregation through witchcraft and psychic prayers. And he was bewitching, this one was bewitchment. He was bewitching the women to marry the down low guys in the down low group he had in his church, including himself. So innocent virgin women were being hooked up with men on the down low in a male group initiated by the pastor. And all of the men, and that's, this other man had that same spirit. See, that's the way God does me. He'll start sending people with kindred spirits, and then I'll realize that's what he wants me to focus on and dig up info and teach on. But anyway, the pastor was a wizard, and this other pastor was a wizard. So I guess God got me coming out going after wizards now. Can somebody find me a chat room? Look up the word wizard. You got to help me this morning because I remember I didn't know which way God was going to go, so I didn't have anything. So now I got to go being led by the Holy Spirit, which is the best way anyway, but wizard. Look up wizard. So anyway, that was having this one deliverance. And then another deliverance took place, this wizard, but both of these preachers had one spirit in common, woman hater. Woman hater. Now, I have a definition up on TEDmind because woman hater and man hater is not, thank you, what you think. Woman hater has a demon through sexual lust, but mentally, it is only satisfying lust because there is a demon in the man that actually hates women, but is driven by a sexual lust demon. That's now we over here in my bailiwick. See, this is how that incubus succubus function many, many times. So then you could have a lady pastor with man hater, because maybe she got, you know, messed up in a marriage, whatever. But there's a lust demon that must be fed through sexual lust, but actually hate the fact that it's coming from a man. No, these people are not, they are not gay or anything like that. But the first one was, I'm talking about the different kind of wizard now, kind of a sex demon, has to have sex, body contact, sexual intercourse. But because sexual intercourse is spiritual, there's no spiritual connect. It is pure, brutish beast. You know, the Bible talks about the beast. Man, God, help me this morning. Where are you taking me? The Bible talks about brutish and beastly. So that's what kind of behavior it is. So then, in the second deliverance, this pastor, power crazy, and he didn't really care if it was soulish realm power, which is fleshly power, but because of spiritual ignorance. See, sometimes you really don't know. As a deliverance minister, you don't know you're ministering to somebody, and you know it's coming right out of the spiritual realm, but you don't know if the intent was malicious. or it came because of spiritual bondage. And this is what I mean. Spiritual bondage likened unto a person being molested, and the person that molested them having a predator demon. So when they molest anybody, the predator demon transfers from the initial molester into everyone that they ever molest. So now you got a person who's a wizard, and the difference between wizards and witches is sorcery. Okay? Sorcery. And the difference between, like, witches and wizards, too, is the amount of demons and spirits that they have operating through them intentionally. You know what I mean? Intentionally. It's all about intent. So the deliverance that took place here was the intent of a wizard to steal this minister of God's anointing. Now, I have to say this. The anointing is, the Spirit of God is contained in the anointing. They can't steal it, steal God, as crazy as it sounds. But the anointing carries giftings, because God says that we're all ministers called to show forth his praises. But the Bible also says that God gives gifts jointly and severally, meaning corporately or grouped together, and he gives them separately. You could have one gift, but you could have contained in one gift 10 ministrations of that one gift. Okay? So God has people, and this is a fact what I'm going to tell you. Because the Bible says that God knew you before he formed you in your mother's womb, you have gifts that were inside of you, inside of your mother's womb. What do you mean? You ever watch the show where they have talented children? They get up there and the voice coming out of them sound like an adult. And you wonder, how could that little boy or that little girl sing like that? Well, it could be the result of a gift that flowed down the family line. It could be the result of a gift that God placed in that particular child after the womb. It could be, now this is the tricky part. It could be a gift coming through a familiar spirit that's been in that family line for thousands of years. And it don't have to be evil either. It could be that nobody ever got saved. So the gift was then never activated and offered up to God. But it's still a gift. You have these gifts. And if you got to remember this, Lucifer was in heaven with God. When God had you in his mind, Lucifer saw the anointing, brothers and sisters. And being his demons, which are, you know, results of angelic activity, they can recognize the anointing. They know it. So what happens, here you are, born. You got these gifts. And you have a desire in your heart for God, which God placed there, mind you. And so you get saved, which was all in the heart and mind of God anyway from the beginning. Remember, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all they that walk therein. Well, Satan says, because he's got to use your power, he's got to use your gifting. He desires your anointing because he desires your place you have with God. And he doesn't know how to get it because he can't, he's been judged. He knows his end. He knows it. But you, brothers and sisters, even if you were the worst monster on the field, be saved. The only thing you cannot be saved from is self-murder. Because if you kill yourself, you didn't create yourself, and you committed murder, and you dead. So don't ever think about killing yourself. You're really going to be messed up forever. Back to my point. Now you have a person who was born under a mantle of witchcraft, let's say. What do you mean born under a mantle? That's just what I said. You could have been born under a mantle where, let's say you in South Africa and you were born under apartheid. Remember apartheid? Slavery, apartheid in South Africa, where the black South Africans had no nothing. And then God raised up Nelson Mandela and so forth and so on. Well, let's say you were born in South Africa and you were born privileged in South Africa under apartheid. So your children, and you have a baby, your baby, and let's say you were born right at the part where apartheid was lifted, but your mama and your daddy was born under apartheid. In you now would be the knowledge of apartheid and the freedom of being free. But because the Bible says that you're bone and flesh of your father and your mother, the seed in you would still carry some of the spiritual framework of apartheid. Because now it's going to take like 3, 4, 5 generations to lift that thing. You ever wonder why in the book of Matthew it lists Jesus' 42 generational, it lists the 42 generations, that's it, step down 42 generations. Well, Jesus' humanity, Son of God, it took 42 years, 42 generations, before the seed could be at the point where it could contain Jesus in the womb of a virgin. Because if you go back and you look at the genealogy there, everything in it, it's harlotry, it's crime. The generation of Jesus in the 42 years, you would think, God, you gonna birth Jesus in all this filth, all this trash, all these people who done committed so many sins against you. But with each generation, it became freer and freer and freer from spiritual bondage. I'm talking to you spirit to spirit. I hope you can receive it this morning. So let's say this wizard, this last wizard I'm talking to you about, let's say this wizard's daddy was a wizard. No, let's say this wizard's great, 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 grandfather was a wizard running around in a jungle somewhere, worshiping the sky, learning how to control things spiritually, and that was the norm. Well, you're probably thinking, Erica, how can that happen? Simple, he was a shaman. Shamans operate through the elements, fire, wind, earth, whatever the elements are. And they know how to manipulate the elements. And so, come on down. Somebody goes to college, and then they say, oh, all that stuff, you know, that doesn't work. I'm a witness of that myself. Oh, don't worry about that witchcraft stuff. Well, it wasn't called witchcraft in the genealogy. I know in my genealogy, it wasn't called witchcraft. It was called healing. Healing people. And in this generation we live in now, it's kind of the same thing. But it's still using tactics that God says don't use. See, God never told us witchcraft does not work, because it does. And I'd be lying if I sit here and tell you that it didn't. It does. But God forbids us to use it, because that's a lower law, remember? That's a lower law of the earth, and there's a higher law in Christ for us to operate through, called the Holy Spirit and the law of. So what happens with these wizards? They really were called. God called them. God called them just like he called you and me. That's why I'm learning. I'm learning a lot. But anyway, what happened, God called them, but they want the call free. They don't want to pay the price to operate in the higher level of faith in Christ Jesus. So they have this kindred spirit. You know that word is in the Bible. They don't talk about it too much. But it's where we get the word kinfolk from, or your kin. So they have these kindred spirits hidden in them anyway, and they begin to yearn for power. And how y'all know that these spirits have voices, they can talk. We seem to be looking at it through the Bible, and we think, oh, these demons, they yell out, they cry out before they come out. But you don't equate that with this fact right here. If they can cry out, they can talk. They can talk. And they can only talk from what they know. They can only talk from what they are familiar with. So people seem to think that familiar spirits are there, but they don't. Yeah, they talk. They think. They can reason. Why? Because they have access to the facilities of you. They use your mind. They use your mouth. They use your ears. They use your ability to reason, think. Because without a body, they can't do anything. And when one gateway is open or one crack is open, they come on in. And because of the fact that they do not operate by themselves, see, these demons are not wiser than you or me. They just got 2,000 years of experience on my little 60 years or 70 years. 2,000 years of experience over your little 41 years or 30 years. They got 2,000 years of experience over your 26 years. I tell you something, you do any one thing for 2,000 years, you become an expert at it. So what happens, they know, these demons know, they took out Adam and Eve. Took them out. They did not, they were incapable of taking Jesus out. But they tried the same tactics up there when Jesus was finished fasting. But it didn't work because they couldn't appeal to Jesus through the eyes. They thought they had Jesus at his weakest point. He had just finished doing a 40-day fast. But the trick they tried on Adam and Eve to cause them to fall did not work on Jesus. So when you get filled with God's Holy Spirit, they're going to try those same tricks on you to appeal to you through your sense realm. And some people, because from the day they came out their mother's womb, instead of being nourished and built up, they were being through spiritual maneuvers, their will was being bent in a way that would cause them to resist God, because God builds your will up. God strengthens your will because God wants your will to become his will, so that his will be done on earth like it is in heaven. So, enter killing, killing, destroying, robbing, and pressure. Enter any way possible to steal your ability and your gifting, which comes from God. Steal your peace, because they know if they can keep you in the state that the world was in the beginning without bliss and void, Satan knows he can control you. But he knows he got to dumb you down, and he knows he's got to make you come into agreement with him. He knows he's got to make you feel you don't have what you have. He knows he's got to prevent you from becoming who God created you to be. So, in the womb. And he knows if you're the firstborn, that you're born under another special gifting, and especially if you're the firstborn son. So, he's going to attempt to take the firstborn son out. And if the firstborn happens to be a woman, because in the spirit realm, there's no gender. But the minute you break through the matrix of the womb, that's when transgressions begin. Okay? So these wizards were actually called of God. That's the point I'm trying to make. Beginning. These wizards were actually called of God, but like so many people, they're lazy. They don't want to do what's required for God to put that crown on them, for God to clothe them in those white garments. So then that kindred spirit says, Because remember, God sent them angels here to train man and mankind. But they got perverted. So that perverted thing inside will say, here's how you do this. Let me show you a faster way. Let me show you, what did he say? To Eve, God knows that in the day you do this, you will become like God. Let me show you how to do that without all the work, without all the this or without all that. And because of one spirit, and because in that lust, something may have happened that caused them to misplace love for lust. And so they don't know the difference between love and sexual lust. So lust takes over. And you know what the Bible says. Lust conceived bringeth forth death. Satan doesn't care. He just wants the spirit of death to come in. Remember, he's trying to emulate God. He needs your gifts. So if he could bring lust into the heart of a man of God, he can turn them from a man of God into a son of Satan, thereby what? Defiling him. And the defilement, remember the demons travel in clusters. They live in groups. Ain't no such thing as one demon. If you demonize, you got lots of demons. And the objective is to get more of his filth and evil in you and thereby paralyze or squeeze out of you the thing of God. So then what happens, these wizards see all these people coming in the church with the glory on them. And the demons from the wizard. So you say, how can they do that? How can they do it, Sister Erica? Let me give you the simplest way I know. Pastor say, your hands. The wizard. Sorry. Not the pastor, the wizard. I'm talking about wizards. I'm talking about spirits that inhabit men and women. And then the wizard says, pray with me now. Bam, you're in agreement. The minute you come into agreement, your soul opens up and the battle begins. See, you may not ever have had a problem with us. The Bible says, as the priest, so go the people. Then you will start seeing manifestations of divorce in the church. You will see every spirit in that wizard begin to manifest in the people. I know a church that God sent me to, and the people come in the church happily married. I go back because I didn't know all this then. And what do I see? A church full of divorced people sitting up in there. And then I have to look at the head. Because whatever spirits was in the head are in the people. I hate to have to tell you this morning. I don't even know who I'm talking to. But whoever you are, God interrupted. Because of deliverance is flowing so heavy. And God wants some of you to know why you are fighting so hard. Another thing, some of you married into Satan's family. You didn't take into account the family and the spirits that were active in the family of the person you were marrying. Because you was only one-sided. You were only looking at that person. You didn't realize that that person is the sum total of all the spirits of their mama and their daddy. You didn't take into account of the fact that you grew up in a saved household where Jesus is Lord, and they grew up in a household where there was no Lord. So if there was no Lord, that meant Satan was their Lord. See what I'm saying? And some of you, your children from that spiritual mixture or combination. And so God is saying, you know, he wants some of this lingering stuff. Anyway, the second wizard I'm telling you about was operating off of the anointing of his highest anointed. They know how to bind you up. They know how to usurp your anointing. They know how to suck you dry. And Satan says, aha, I'm going to use that and take them on out. So then a real battle begins. A real battle begins. And guess what? It ain't even your battle. It ain't even the battle of your children. It was a battle taking place within the spiritual realm that has the intent to destroy you. And the number one way, the number one way that it does that is to make you mentally insane, to discredit your word. You see, the Bible says, people don't want to talk about it, but it says it anyway. The Bible says a poor man's words are despised. So he figured if he could keep you in poverty, if he could hit you, where you don't never have no money, where you got to work all the time, and you don't even have any time to focus on God, to get close to God, to build so that God can build what's inside of you. Because you got to what? Maintain yourself in this world system, which is what? Antichrist. Against Christ. Anti means against. Antichrist means against any and everything of Christ and about Christ. So now what you got? And John said the Antichrist is not coming, it's already here. There are many. So you got, you in the church. You don't even know that the spirit of a wizard is operating through the head, whoever that is. And it is, has one purpose. To destroy Christ in you. To take you out. What? Take you out of what? The covenantal blessings that God had preordained and predestined from your life when he placed you on this earth. Think about that. Think about that. And you get saved. You get saved, and what happens is broken. The minute one person gets saved, it breaks off of the life of that person, but then that person is supposed to be the savior of their whole family line. That person got saved. Christ came into the whole family line, and every generation forward is supposed to be blessed. That's what it says, that God will bless to 1,000 generations those who love him. And the devil said, I can't have that. Nope. Yeah, they got Christ in them, and yes, they learning to love, and yes. Everything's become a yes. No. You hear me? No. No. That would say, no. That would say, no. I'm not having it. Then he sends those spirits over time. He gives that wizard more power because now the wizard got you suppressed. You suppressed. You had a standstill. You're not going forward. You know you're not going to go back. But the point is, God did not create you to be standstill. He created you to move forward in him and through him and by him and of him. Because the Bible in Christ is what? Yea and amen. And Satan is what? No, no, no. I tell my dogs I got to stop. No. I got to stop saying that, Gilbert. And let it be a yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Do you want to be happy? Yes, Lord. Do you want a miracle? Yes, Lord. You want to be poor? No! You want to be tore up? No! You want to be broke down? No! You want to be sick? No! 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 Satan hates it when you say no to him and yes to God. So then he got this wizard up here. And the wizard says, I am your God. They don't say it verbally, but they bring you into that agreement. Into that agreement. And finally, the wizard, who's supposed to be your spiritual leader, brings you into the wizard's domain. King domain or kingdom. He got you there. And guess what? You don't even know it. That's why them hidden things got to be dealt with. Well, how are we going to deal with them if they're hidden? Simple. You call them hidden. You call them hidden. Because the Bible says that Jesus is the way and the light of the world. So you bring the way, the truth, the light, and the life into what? The darkness. And you don't have to know the darkness. But you got to know the light that can expose the darkness. So you get away from the wizard like these people had done. And they knew something was wrong, couldn't pinpoint it. And the scripture says that Satan takes captive the mind. So he presents anything as the problem. Anything as the problem. But the problem is that he is the problem. He initiated the problem. He grew the problem. He made the problem bigger than God now. So your ability is focused on solving the problem, which you are focusing on God to solve the problem when you are called to focus on God as God. So the problem and resolving the problems becomes bigger than the answer because the answer is Jesus. And you're seeking the answer, oh, yes, this is my whatever. Somebody told me the name of a disease. I can't even pronounce it. But it was lingering. In the Bible, they had lingering diseases. somebody bent over 38 years, I think that's a lingering disease. Somebody laying by a pool, I think that's a lingering disease. Somebody born blind, that's definitely a lingering disease. So it's time. God's going to heal from some of these lingering, that lingering stuff brought on by various forms of wizardry, sorcery, blinding your eyes and blinding your mind to the truth. Both of these people I observed, because I'm just watching God work, see? I'm just watching him work. I observed that when he brought them out of that darkness, they could see. They could see every strategy that had been worked against them. They could see how every plan was formatted and carried through. They could see, brothers and sisters, how the enemy had them going to the, I ain't got nothing against no therapist, no psychiatrist, no, but personally, give me Jesus, Genesis to Revelation, because that's who the therapist got to go to. That's who the doctor got to go to resolve their stuff. And then Jesus can give them help like he gives us help in showing us the problem. But he's still the answer. He's still the answer. But some of the problems you don't have to have. Because if he's the answer for the doctor, if he's the answer for the therapist, if he's the answer for the psychiatrist, and the Bible says that you don't need a mediator anymore, that you can come directly to him and find what? Help. So the people I'm telling you about tonight, I mean this morning, this was last night, got free. And I'm so sorry that these people were on the brink and had attempted suicide. And you know what? Listen. You can take all the pills you want. You can take the gun and put it up to your head. You won't be able to pull the trigger. The pills won't kill you. One girl came to me so bound. So bound. Because she had a problem. You know what the problem was? She was messed up to the point. She'd been married 4 times, 5 times. And you know why she married people? Because she could not be alone. The demons had her so messed up. If she was alone one night without a man, she would just go pick somebody up in the bar. Never seen them before, don't know nothing about them. But the demons were driving her to the point she just could not be alone. You know why? Because she had been sold into baby prostitution at 2 years old. So from 2 years old to 51 years old, she had to have sex every night. It was bondage. It was spiritual bondage. It was demons. Oh, I forgot to tell you, her father was one of them wizards too. So after he sold her into prostitution, and then when she came to the point of having her menstrual cycle, he started having sex with her. They had a baby. They set another young man up, lying as the father of the baby, so that the girl would never, so that it would never be exposed that the father was the father of what was supposed to be his granddaughter was his daughter. Ain't none of this stuff strange. It's going on every day. And then the girl wondered why she was born with issues. Because she was born under a curse of incest. Penalties, because there's penalties with sin. One of them. She was lucky. Oh, I rebuked that, Satan. And no such thing as luck in the kingdom. See how he tried to trick me just then? There's no such thing as luck in the kingdom. She was born blessed to be alive. too close. So, in the name of Jesus, let's begin the process. I think it's going to be a process. I don't know. But I know this God's going to heal from it and deliver from every area where a wizard has touched your life. And you know what? I can recall the famous wizard words. You got to sit under me. What he should have said was, I'm going to sit on you. I'm gonna hold you down, keep you back. But see, that's the truth. I'm saying pastors, preachers, teachers, evangelists, apostles, get yourself delivered. Get yourself restored back to God. Loose yourself from the world and the world system of the devil. This morning, test yourself. Just say, Father, if I or my body has ever been defiled without my knowing it, would you deliver me? Would you deliver me now? Because you own here. And you need to be delivered. Somebody is on here right now. God has shown you your gifts in him. God has shown you what is required of you by him. And you in your heart of hearts know you want to please God. But something has been holding you back. Could it be you came into contact with a wizard and didn't know it? Is it a possibility? Sometimes God helps the pastors, the apostles, the prophets, the leaders. God help them. Because sometimes they be in the sanctuary, be in the church, be in the restroom. People in the church, the pastor is not discerning them. They witches. They wizards. They shamans. And you, pastors, apostles, prophets, and teachers, wondering why you can't grow. Because they got you under bondage. Ask God for real. Don't hold nothing back. Pride allow you to be stuck on stupid. Demon stupid. Another second. Because some wizard got you all tied up and twisted up. Right now, be real enough to say, Jesus, if there's any of this stuff this woman talked about in me, around me, or on me, deliver me this morning. I bind up the spirit of a wizard. All transference of spirits of wizardry. I bind up all wizardry mind control. All wizardry domination and manipulation. All wizardry, predatorism. All wizardry, theft. Bind up those spirits this morning. Hidden wizardry. Hidden wizardry as a work of darkness. Lord God, if there's any hidden wizardry from any false apostle, apostate apostle, lethargic or apathetic wizardry. This morning I bind it up. I bind it up. If there's any shamanic wizardry operating through sickness, disease, ill health, body bondage, through body memory, I bind you up this morning. And in the name of Jesus, come out the cells. Go! Get out. Go! Come out the cellular structure. Get out. Get out this morning. Go! In the name of Jesus. Go! Get out. Loose that man, that woman. Loose that ministry. Go! I break your power. I break and destroy the powers of any wizardry this morning. Go! Get out. Up and out. Go! Get out. In the name of Jesus. I break and destroy the power of pride that operates with that wizardry. Go! Get out! In the name of Jesus. Witchcraft misery. And I break the power of the spirit called no, that is a hindering and blocking spirit. Go! Get out, no. Hindering the favor of God. Loose your stronghold and get out this morning. God is saying, let my people go. In the name of Jesus. Now, Father, every area that's been emptied out, fill with fresh oil. Fill, God, fill in the name of Jesus. We renounce. Eradicate, destroy. Make null, void, and inoperative the spirit of no. Go! Get out. You're not going to operate against me any longer. Gonna be able to be used against me any longer. Get out. Get out. All the way out. All the way out. You see, brothers and sisters, I come into contact with lots of wizards. Keep myself delivered. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation. Spirit, soul, and body salvation. I'll see you tomorrow on the 10 line. Feel God. And I destroy the power of any power, of any lashback, revenge, or retaliation. Go to the pit until the day of judgment by Jesus Christ. See you tomorrow on the 10 line.
When I was just a young boy, on the back of my daddy's real estate business card were the words, "What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul?" I can't say I knew what it meant back then, y'all, but I sure do now. Father God, I am clay in your hands. I wanna stay that way through all life's demands, cause they chip and they nag and they pull at me, and every little thing I make up my mind to be. Like I'ma be a daddy who's infinite, and I'ma be a husband who stays legit, and I pray that I'm an artist who rides above. The road that is wide is filled with love. Everything that I see draws me, though it's only in you that I can truly see. But it's a feast for the eye, the low flow, the purpose, and I'm a little kid in a three-ring circus.
I don't wanna gain the whole world and lose my soul.
It's not what you do. True, we get it twisted when we think it's a job. But yo, before you part from the start, where's your heart? You a pimp? A hustler? Tell me what your title. America got no more stars, now we call them idols. You sit idle as we teach prosperity. The first thing to prosper should be inside of me. Not because the 22's on the range, but Christ came and reigns. We say yes, now we changing. Not the same, even though I had a call. Since I made that call, no more star, no more call. Yeah.
I don't wanna gain the whole.
Let the devil ride. No, no. right. Cause if you love him right, you wanna drive the wind. Come on. No. Please don't let him drive your car. Come on.
Give Neil a big hand.